Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome everybody to season 4, episode 3 of The Psychologists Are In. I'm Maggie Lawson.
And I'm her podcast partner in crime, Timothy Ombudson.
And this week we are talking about High Noon-ish. The episode where Lassiter enlists Sean and Gus to help uncover the truth at an Old West tourist attraction. Enjoy. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Maggie.
How you doing?
I'm really good. I'm really excited to talk about this episode. It's one of my favorites.
You know what? I forgot that High Noon-ish was this episode. I always think of it as like the town western. I just forgot the name. So when it started, I was like, oh, I'm so happy it's this episode. I haven't seen it in so long. But everybody is so good in it. I cannot wait to hear you talk about the wardrobe. The wardrobe is so great in it. We'll get into all of it, but your moments with Brolin and
Calcahoon so gave me some beautiful work. Beautiful scenery scenery to chew. I didn't chew too much in this one. That's a little later in the days, in the years. Kel wrote me a hell of a role in this episode. We're gonna see a lot more of Lassie's backstory. And maybe she had one single little Demi Moore tear right there.
Yeah, I know. It's so sweet. It was like, we'll get to those scenes, but you're...
And the boys are fantastic in it. We have to say, directed by the Commander Mel Damski.
Yeah, Mel.
Of course, this was our Western episode. So Mel shot the shit out of this he shot it like a Sergio Leone movie. So it's all kind of sepia tone. Mike McQuarrie was our DP on this one. Did a beautiful job. So it was all kind of like there's sort of a brownish sepia tone, old-timey Western look to it.
Yeah. And the music. The whole episode. The music is so good, the whole episode.
It's in my notes. Let's get to it because I got my professional notes right there.
I have my professional notes too. But I just want to say, hey, hi. This is episode 3 of season 4. Of The Psychologists Are In and of Psych.
A Psych Rewatch podcast. The greatest rewatch podcast of all times.
All the rewatch podcasts.
Thanks to Maggie Lawson, who came to me and said, hey, you want to do a Psych Rewatch podcast? And again, I went, what is that?
And I said, just follow me.
And I went, yes, ma'am. 4 seasons later, here we are. In fact, I think someone posted, this. Do we just have our year anniversary of the podcast?
Yes, we did. We had, I think, our year anniversary of the first episode. Yeah, or maybe it was the announcement. I'm not sure. But yeah, they've been so, they were all over the 1 year anniversary. It was very sweet. Thank you, psychos. Thank you, besties. Thank you, all of you. We love all the messages. It is going too fast. I did see some messages today from some people that were like, we agree it's going too fast. How can we slow it down? So maybe that's something we can kind of figure out too, like having some in-between episodes where maybe it's just Maggie and Tim shooting the shit.
I like that. Little special taggy episodes.
Yeah.
Now that we've established that. Happy anniversary, my dear friend.
Happy anniversary, Tim. This has been like the highlight of just reliving all of this with everyone, but especially obviously with you. It's just been beyond special. And I'm so glad that even though you were like, do what? You just said yes. And we're a year in. And
because
man, it's going too fast. Yeah.
I've known to not question you. Many years ago, I learned that if Max comes up with an idea, it's probably going to be a pretty gosh darn good one.
Yeah.
So just say yes.
Just say yes.
And thank goodness I did, because this, as you said the word highlight. I was going to use the word highlight, because we're so simpatico. We were both going to use the word highlight.
Highlight, exactly.
This has been one of the highlights of post-psych years ever.
Yeah. And also like a whole new thing we're doing. Like the whole podcast thing in general, it's just all very cool. And we love Cloud 10 and every all the help, obviously you, Devin. And I don't know. This just feels like I don't know what made me go into just having a whole sentimental moment with this today, but
I'm gonna hop on that train.
Yeah.
So to get to relive this show once a week, the way we've been doing it, and then really like track our friendship, the taggy friendship growing has just been just, it fills my heart with such joy, and I love it so much. Like I treasure these this once a week I get to see, because I don't get to see you enough in real life anymore.
I know. We gotta get make that happen more. But I'm gonna drink.
And I texted you an hour ago and said, "Hey, post like next week when we're both back in town.
Yeah,
let's have a little Starbucks catch up.
We are going to have a catch up, and we're gonna have a coffee, and we are gonna keep making this amazing podcast, and including today. All right, let's go.
Are you ready to podcast the shit out of it from your childhood home?
I am. That feels weird, but I am ready to podcast the shit out of it from my childhood home. This is so crazy. Literally where I grew up. We moved here when I was 4.
Is there still background noise that you're hearing and I'm not?
No.
Okay, because it might be the ghost of John Candy that was in the star that was on your upstairs bedroom.
John Candy?
Wasn't that the story when John Candy died, the star? Yeah, so
fell
maybe
from the ceiling. And we were like 14-year-olds, and we just squealed, and we literally wanted to channel. We asked John Candy for a sign, and a star fell from the ceiling.
See, I remember. I listened to the podcast. I remember.
We actually asked for. Yeah. See, you were. That's a really good memory. How crazy is that, though?
So apparently, Nana, did you channel him? John's still upstairs making
John's
noise.
John's upstairs for sure. There is a ghost for sure in this house. There always has been. We've had people stay in the house when we've not been here, and they will say, who is walking around upstairs?
John Candy.
It's John Candy.
Well,
there
if you can have a ghost.
There are creaks in the floor that sound like footsteps, and it freaks anyone out who's like living here. And yeah.
If you're going to have a ghost, you want it to be somebody amazingly talented and funny like John
and
Candy.
And funny. Should we go? Should we high noonish?
Let's high noon the hell out of it.
All right, let's high noon the hell out of it. Ready? Okay. This was High Noonish, directed by Mel Damsky, written by
Commander
Cal
Damsky.
Cahoon. We love both of them so much. First, pineapple sighting. Tim?
Nope, didn't catch it.
Didn't either. Here it is. In Henry's kitchen, there is a ceramic pineapple on the kitchen counter next to the sink, and there is a wooden pineapple on the fireplace mantle. I miss both of those. Okay, cold open. Flashback to 1989. Henry asks young Sean why there's a giant hole in his yard, and Sean explains that it's his grave. Gus made him dig it in a game of Just Cowboys because playing Indians is offensive. Thank you, Devin.
I loved that they put that in there. So this was what, this episode took place in 1986,
1989. Mm-hmm.
So I love that they were, even back then, the boys were progressive enough to realize the alternative to Just Cowboys is offensive to people who are not just cowboys.
Correct. I love it too. Okay, Henry tells Sean he has a game for him to play next called Fill the Giant Hole You Dug Up in My Yard or Else. I love that that gets its own thing. Okay, flash forward to present day. Lassiter drives Sean and Gus to a little town called Old Sonora. They visit Sheriff Hank Mendel, an old friend of Lassie's, who enlists their services to uncover the truth about the strange occurrences in his town. First off, your affection for this town is so sweet off the bat, and for James, for Hank, who is played by the untouchable James Brolin. He's so good.
James freaking Brolin, how I want to be when I get older.
Yeah, exactly. He was wonderful. You guys were so good together. Sheriff Hank reveals an amazing nugget of information, which is Lassie's old nickname.
Chauffeurist Pinky.
Pinky.
Which I got to say, when Lassiter gets out of the car after the boys thinking he's going to drive them out to kill them and then leave them in a ditch somewhere.
Yeah.
But Lassiter gets out of the car. There's so much more salt in that pepper of a buzz cut. It's like, wow, it really comes out when the hair is shorter.
It's so cute. I noticed some hair, even more so in this episode than other episodes, some hair differences that I brought up as well. The chief's hair is darker and my hair is lighter. You have a little more salt.
And we all know which way that went.
Look, your hair is so good, Tim. All right, Hank explains to them that wooden fence posts around town have been stolen. Someone has poisoned the water, and there's a stench in the air that Gus attributes to cat urine.
We got a shout out. So Binky was named for Mark Binky, who was one of our USA executives. I can't remember his exact title. It's basically Mark Binky was the man in charge of the purse strings for USA. So if we needed anything done, big, big money wise, Mark had to approve it. So
yeah.
we paid him homage by naming Laster's childhood nickname is Binky. So that's
I love hearing names of our executives and people show up. He was great. He was with us all the way through.
Yeah, love Mark was Binky. Mark was hardcore.
Yeah.
Hardcore psych.
Okay, so as Hank shows them around the town, he stops, draws his weapon, and shoots a man named Stinky Pete Dillingham. Only then do they realize that Old Sonora is not a real town. It's an Old West tourist attraction.
Massive psych degree of separation here. Stinky Pete is played by my dear friend, the glorious Jim Beaver.
Ugh.
Who Jim and I met on another Western I did called Deadwood. Jim's a glorious, glorious actor and a dear, dear friend. And then as life has it, he also ended up being on Supernatural. So Jim and I have spent many, many, many weekends together doing Supernatural conventions. He's just one of the sweetest men.
He is lovely. He is absolutely, he's so lovely. Anyway, and we love him and he's so good. He's such a talented actor.
Okay, one more shout out to him. So today is November 10th, which means tomorrow's November 11th, if my math is correct, which is Veterans Day.
I have Jim no
idea. Jim is a Marine Corps veteran from Vietnam. So Jim, happy Veterans Day to you, sir.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Jim's a Vietnam Marine vet.
Thank you for your service, Jim Beaver. Wow. I didn't know that. Thank you for sharing that.
So Jim and I really got to be friends because we were shooting Deadwood. Here's a little insider insight with if you ever watched the show Deadwood, one of the greatest American television programs, other than psych, the greatest American drama, I should say. The scripts on that show, because David Milch, genius, mad genius that he is, used to really take his time in delivering scripts or delivering storylines. So I was doing the pilot, spoiler alert, before poor Dead Brom shows and hits his demise. And Jim and I really only had one scene together. But we were out in the middle of nowhere woods. And because it took so long, we were really delayed in shooting this day. So Jim and I were basically stuck in the woods together doing the scene, just sat in our cast chairs and just shot the shit for an entire night shoot. And how I got to be dear friends with this man.
I love that. And yeah, now you're dear friends. Look at that. Look at that.
Boom.
I love it. I love that. With MasterClass, you can learn from the world's best minds anytime, anywhere, and at your own pace. You can learn the art of negotiation with Chris Voss or songwriting with John Legend or relational intelligence with Esther Perel. Honestly, name it. It's they have so many. With 180 classes from a range of world-class instructors, that thing you've always wanted to do is closer than you think. MasterClass is accessible on your phone, web, or smart TV, offering classes on a wide variety of topics, all taught by world-class instructors at the top of their fields. Each class is broken out into individual video lessons, usually around 10 minutes long. Members can explore at their own pace, and each class is supported by downloadable materials, class guides, recipes, or more. I am all over the place. I want to take all of these classes. One of the ones I really, really loved was Annie Leibovitz on photography. I feel like I learned so much just about light and shooting. It was really informative. It was really beautiful. There's something about their classes. They're very easy to follow, very easy to watch. It's so well done and so well edited. And anyway, I'm a huge fan and I highly recommend. I learned so much and I've watched others too, some cooking. Learn how to write anything from a book or screenplay to just a letter. Learn how to communicate with your boss or your family. Learn how to make a dinner worthy of a Michelin star or just how to make really good scrambled eggs. I did that. I learned how to make really good scrambled eggs. Whatever you're interested in, there is a class for you. Over 180 exclusive classes taught by the instructors you know and love. I highly recommend you check it out. This holiday, give one annual membership and get one free. Did you hear that? Go to masterclass.com/pineapple today. That's masterclass.com/pineapple. Terms apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Lassiter explains that Old Sonora was originally a historic mining town and that he spent most of his weekends there as a child, so he would not let vandals shut the place down. Lassie mentions this case is out of his jurisdiction, so he can't physically help, but that's where Sean and Gus come in. Lassie drops them off with some sleeping gear, and they spend the night with good old Sheriff Hank. While the guys roast some beans over a fire, Hank tells them about the legend of the Ghost Rider, a spirit that supposedly haunts
the town. It becomes such like old funny,
so
old-timey... campfire ghost stories.
Oh, it's so good. All of this is... I had a funny thing that I noticed in this where he says that Lassie's dad wasn't around much, which is really interesting because, you know, because Joel McHale, who I just saw, plays your dad in the Psych movies. Psych movie. The second one. Yeah. In a flashback, right? So we actually see that.
When we find out Lassie's dad died kind of youngish.
Yeah. He died kind
of
young.
So a massive heart attack.
And so it's interesting because I felt like in this episode, we like touch on the fact that his dad wasn't around, but we don't actually know why until the Psych, the movie too.
Several years and seasons later when we find out why he wasn't around.
Yeah. And in fact, it kind of just feels like, oh, Lassie's dad wasn't around. But anyway, and then I was like, oh, interesting. This is an interesting story point because we didn't actually come back full circle with this until the movie. Anyway.
And this is my more. So basically, Lassiter was a latchkey kid.
Basically, he didn't have a papa around.
And his mom around. Worked during the day. So Lassiter would get home from school, get himself home, get inside by making himself a grilled cheese sandwich or whatever, TV dinner, and watch some Brady Bunch.
Yeah, watch some Brady Bunch.
And then on weekends, his mom would take him to Old Sonora, where Hank became his father figure.
I mean, this is so sweet. All of this was like, well, I kept thinking about how much like in heaven Lassiter and Tim were during this episode with this like all the Old West, just because you guys are this is something you guys definitely have in common. Tim and Lassie, Tassie.
Absolutely. The psychic premonition here, where we shot this scene, I mean, where we shot, this was Jamestown, right? Is that what we called it?
Yes. Yep.
So Jamestown is an old Western town built up near Vancouver where all the tons of old Western stuff shoots there.
Yeah.
So, which was a definite psychic premonition to where my family and I would spend virtually every Thanksgiving since 2011 at the White Stein Ranch in Tucson, Arizona. Shout out to my friends at the White Stein Ranch, which is a dude ranch.
Yeah.
So we'd go for a week and I'd play cowboy all week. There's a windmill, there's stables.
Yep. So we're roasting the things. There's a ghost rider. Hank then goes to check on what spooked the horses as Sean and Gus conclude that most likely age and weather are what is killing the town. As they go back to find Hank, they stumble across a dead body on the trail. Sean and Gus run away in fear, calling for Hank's help, only to find no Hank, no horses, and two fence posts missing.
He might have been... Yeah. Murdered.
There it is. There it is. I was.
We don't know yet, but I'm just saying he might have been.
He might have been.
It's possible murder.
Yes.
Yes. Go ahead. Sorry.
They then turn towards a sound of thunder to see a stampede of horses headed straight for them. Hank shoves them out of the way, but is injured in the process. He refuses to go to the hospital, so Henry helps him with his wound by stitching it up and giving him some liquid courage. Sean then decides to take over sheriff duties to make sure the town stays open. This gets
one of
really
my
good.
Favorite lines is coming up.
Okay, I think maybe.
So I think it's after the shootout and. Gus says, let me wear some spurs. And I think the reply is, how about the sheriff wears the spurs? And yeah. DeLay's line of, kiss my blacksmith ass.
Oh, that's what I wrote. Literally wrote that down. It was so good.
That one made me LOL, as the kids say.
There were a couple of moments and comments too in when they were talking about a certain time, and Dulé's like, I have very different memories of that time.
Yeah, my people have very different memories. My people have very different memories of that time.
Back at the police station, Juliet and Lassie have identified the dead man as Frank McBain. Yes.
Okay, so show first. O'Hara is in a basic white blouse.
Yeah.
And not just that, and a pinstripe pantsuit.
Yeah.
So basically, you've started dressing like Lassiter.
I was like, whoa, look how sharp. I wrote down, I literally said, sharp wardrobe, season 4, more blonde, chief, and less
your
blonde.
Your hair is back too, so your hair is a little tighter.
Yeah. And then we go into like the conference room and we start talking with about McBain and all this stuff. And I kept getting like Yellowstone vibes because I'm like, oh, they're talking about very similar plot lines that were on Yellowstone. Glamorous. I'm like, look at us. We were giving Yellowstone ideas for their show long before Yellowstone.
So now we do realize we've established that McBain was murdered.
Correct. Right? Correct. I feel we're making up for a lot of missing murders in previous episodes.
I got more in my pocket if we need it.
I'm sure you do. A millionaire businessman who recently bought all the land around Old Sonora this is McBain, right, of a new planned toll road in the area. Or so they thought.
I love how Lassiter is so hepped up here that he tells O'Hara they're going to bend the rules a little bit out of his jurisdiction.
Yeah.
Which is almost like Lassiter's breaking the laws.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah,
Lassiter,
you know I did.
Breaking the laws.
Breaking the laws.
I love it. Oh, my God,
Steve Franks, you can write that one down. That's a freebie. I give that one to you for free, Franks.
I love it so much. Okay. McBain actually bought the land to make a free park. Oh, this is funny. A free park named after a young child who died of leukemia.
Oh, so we're now at we're at McBain's office.
Yeah.
And that hang on, that little girl's name was Ashley Barrett. And you're Ashley Barrett. She was so brave. Made me laugh out loud.
She was so brave. Chief Vic informs Lassiette that the main suspect of the case is now Sheriff Hank. Oh no.
Devastation. And we missed another site degree separation.
What? Who?
That'd be Sheriff Becker. The other county, the county sheriff comes in.
Yeah.
Who's played by Brent Sexton, amazing actor, who I also met on a little show called Deadwood, one of the greatest American dramas ever made. It's on HBO. You all can get it. If you haven't seen it,
a movie.
You've got to check out some Deadwood. So the greatest actors currently working. I'm one of them. I'm not saying one of them the greatest on the show, but you got me, your friend Timmy Oliphant.
I love Tim Oliphant. Love Tim Oliphant.
Disclaimer, though, there is some language that a Teamster once said would make him blush. So the language in Deadwood is a little harsh. It's not a family show by any means.
No.
But if you like the old-timey westerning, it's pretty gosh darn glorious.
It's a wonderful show.
But we missed something. Sorry, because I'm really excited about this. You and I, when we solved the case, when we figured out and solved the case, and we did the very aggressive high five.
Oh, and I'm like, ow, one of my favorite high fives we have.
Right. It was certainly one of the most satisfying we ever get. You can hear how satisfying it was.
Yeah, because we miss a lot.
We miss a lot. But this one was full on awesome smack. Like you heard this one across the border.
Yep.
You heard this high five in Bellingham. But prior to that, us building up to the high five. Our rat-a-tat-tat, our back and forth is so press and surges. And I remember us, I think we talked about like just the screwball comedy aspect of this dialogue and how we can make it as fast as possible, which then followed through into that aggressive high five.
All right. So now more than ever, Lassiter needs Sean and Gus's help to uncover who in the town is the potential
murderer.
There we go. It's even written. Devin wrote all the R's. They interview the town madam, Miss Annie, who confesses she and Hank used to be lovers. Then Tripsie, the deputy sheriff.
Or as Sean would say, lovers in the nighttime.
Lovers in the nighttime, who says he loves Hank like a brother. Sean and Gus then hear a sound of splitting wood. But I just have to acknowledge and honor James's commitment to the Old West sheriff and Dulé as well. They're from their wardrobe to their mannerisms to like, it is so much fun to watch. James's accent is so good.
The scene where Lassiter is really pissed off at them comes in the room where they're sitting there and Dulé's playing harmonica.
Oh, and I wrote that down. Is he really playing?
I would say no.
Okay. I don't think he is either. But you really play.
I do really play.
Yeah. So I don't know. And Dulé is so musical. I'll ask him. I don't know for sure. I'm guaranteeing that's going to be one of the fan questions. But
I'm thinking that's a no. But when I slap James's boots off the table.
Yeah, so good.
That was a little something that Timmy did to make himself laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was a lot of first person. Sorry. It's almost like I was talking about the Royal Wee.
Right, of course.
Well, speaking of the Royal Wees, a little more narcissism cup.
Oh, I love your narcissism cups.
Hey, that's the season 4 hair right there.
Oh, yes, it is. It actually is.
Boy, and look at those ears popping out.
Season 4 cup. Okay.
Yeah, he's all, one of my favorite lunches. Boys all hepped up on cactus juice.
Yeah.
Yeah, his accent, he was so funny. And of course, James is a Texan, so.
Exactly. He went right into it and owned it, and it was great. I was blushing in real life and as Juliet. Okay, Sean and Gus then hear a sound of splitting wood and run to find another post missing with the ghostwriter somehow disappearing into the facade of the livery stable.
Well done.
Then the classic shot of the building falling on Sean and Gus commences.
One of my favorite shots.
On the show ever.
On the show.
Ever.
Which, and people go, oh, that was so, I wonder how they did that. So cool. That's a classic silent movie comedy gag.
Completely.
I think it's Harold Lloyd.
Who?
The great comedic actor. I think Harold Lloyd.
Oh,
the great
really?
Silent movie. Yeah, and Harold Lloyd was famous for doing his own stunts.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Crazy, like, stuff that, like, everybody thinks Tom Cruise is crazy for doing his own stunts. The stuff that Harold Lloyd did, unbelievable for his day with, like, no safety equipment at all.
I've heard this. I know
and
this.
He actually blew his hand off.
He so blew his hand off?
He blew several fingers of one of his hands off doing a stunt. So, one of the props guys made him a glove, like made him a prosthetic hand in a glove. So later in his career, this is called Film History with Tim and Maggie, everybody.
I love this. I
later
love
in his
Tim's
career,
tidbits.
he wore a glove with a fake hand in it.
Interesting.
That's what happens when you do your own stunts.
So I guess the lesson there is don't do your own stunts, kids.
Don't do your own stunts, kids.
Your hair is unique, so your hair care should be too. Function of Beauty makes products that are 100% customizable with ingredients designed and formulated to meet your specific goals. Function of Beauty is the world's first fully customizable hair care that creates individually filled shampoos, conditioners, styling, and treatment formulas based on your hair type, like your personal hair type. It's so cool. Founded by a team of engineers and cosmetic scientists, each Function of Beauty product is individually designed to be as unique as you are. Function of Beauty offers over 54 trillion possible formulations. Each one is vegan and cruelty-free with no sulfates or parabens. You can also get silicone-free. It's free of so many bad things, you guys. It's so good. Here's how it works. First, take your hair quiz designed to build your hair profile and select up to 5 hair goals. Does your hair get frizzy in the winter but oily in the summer? Function formulations can be updated as often as you need to keep your hair on track. Next, choose your color and fragrance or go dye or fragrance free. Honestly, there are so many options. It's like tailored to your hair. Your actual hair. Then get your freshly filled formula delivered straight to your door and prepare for good hair days ahead. They even offer discounts and benefits when you subscribe. Highly recommend that, by the way. Start giving your hair the personalized care it needs. Go to functionofbeauty.com/pineapple to take your hair goals quiz and you'll save 20% on your first order when you subscribe. No commitments and you can cancel anytime. Go to functionofbeauty.com/pineapple to let them know you heard about it from our show and get 20% off your first order. That's functionofbeauty.com/pineapple to take your hair quiz and save 20% off on your first order. Okay, wait, I have to call out one bit that I thought was so good that we're way far behind now, or that we're way past now, I mean, is Sean getting on the horse to go 10 feet.
Yeah. Which really feels like a sweat out of Blazing Saddles.
It's so good. Sean thinks someone else wants Hank's land because the vandalism did not stop after McBain died. Someone couldn't outbid McBain, so maybe he killed off the competition. Chief Vic gets the verdict back on McBain's cause of death.
So you mean he murdered the competition?
Oh, dear.
Question mark?
We're hitting our quota for all of season four in one episode. All right, Chief gets the verdict back on McBain's cause of death, and it's revealed he was shot with a 100-year-old bullet belonging to an original 1873 Colt Peacemaker, just like the one Hank has. Oh, Lassiter is then forced to arrest Hank, but Sean and Gus are determined to prove his innocence.
Oh, the scene in the SBPD where we're all in Vic's office talk about that. This is where I really noticed the sideburns are really starting to go. The sideburns are starting to match the hair with Conan Gray. I think after this episode is when they started, I can't remember the season four makeup artist's name, but he started painting in my sideburns.
Oh, like, really?
Yeah, that's after this episode, I think is when they started darkening my burns a little bit because they were going so gray.
So gray.
And now,
gray,
and now
so
look
fast.
What happens.
Now you just own it because it looks so good.
Oh, thank you, my friend.
The scene you have with Hank.
Oh, the arrest scene was.
And you're so quiet. And you're so heartbroken. So good, Tim.
Thanks, Maggie. This was a pretty special scene to shoot.
Back at the station where Delay is coughing and they say it's a consumption.
He got to consumption.
It made me laugh so hard. I watched it several times.
And wardrobe note, your white blouse has now been switched out for a sepia tone blouse.
Yeah. And I've sharpened it up. Less colorful.
Yeah, and this suit is even more tailored, stripey and sharp. Yeah,
but also it's just very fitting. Yeah, I was like, oh, okay. Sean and Gus go back to where the Ghost Rider disappeared, and then tumble into an old mine shaft. This is funny. That seems to be back in use. Someone has been mining gold under the town. The stolen wood is being used to prop up the shaft, and the sinkholes and stench are byproducts of the mining process. Sean realizes the culprit is Stinky Pete, who arrives through what turns out to be fake rocks at the entrance and shuts them inside the mine. Back at the town, Lassiter apologizes to a newly released Hank whose gun only shoots blanks. Anyway, that was Jim Beaver. Jim Beaver was showing up before. But Hank tells him that the guns were a pair and he knows just who has the other one. Back in the mine, Sean spots a way out, and he and Gus dig themselves out to find Lassiter and Pete in the street, poised for the daily shootout, only this time, it's for real. This was so cool.
So have you and I arrived at Old Sonora now?
Yeah, we're there.
Right, so this is the shootout, right?
Yeah, we're at the shootout. We're at the Stinky Pete and...
Oh, sorry, I'm going to go back 1 second. So yeah. The first time we see the shootout between Hank and Stinky Pete...
The very beginning. Mm-hmm.
Because we jumped forward my professional notes. The glee on Lassiter's face when I think James says, he just really shot that man. And Lassiter's like, yeah, wasn't it great? Like, he's back to that 5-year-old little kid who used to hang out there.
Yeah, he's immediately back where he spent all his time. And Hank's like a father to him, and like, oh, it's just so sweet. It's so sweet. That happens to us. Look at me. Here I am. I'm back in my childhood home, and I'm acting like a little kid again.
So we're in the shootout now, yes?
Yes, we're at the shootout.
Where Lassiter goes to arrest Stinky Pete.
Stinky Pete refuses to go quietly, and he and Lassie both draw for an epic shootout.
Which I gotta say, the way I love how Mo shot this. It's the good man there. It's all the tight on the eyes shot.
It's so good.
Where I really realized, oh, I needed some eyebrow plucking in that one.
Yeah. I mean, but look, anytime it's that close.
So where Lassiter has been wanting, because he's been watching the shootout happen his entire childhood. So for him to get to do it, and then for me, Tim, my name's Tim Amundsen. For me to actually to get to do a shootout like this. This was all my cowboy fantasies coming out, just like it was for Lassiter.
Yeah.
I've got a picture of Jim and I from this scene. And every year on his birthday, I always, because he's on the Facebook and I'll send him a message saying, sorry, I pretend killed you that day on the show.
That's really funny.
And but really, so now when Jim listens to this episode, which by the way, we tried to get Jim for the episode, but he's busy trying, because he loved the show. We had such a great time on it. And so he said he would be more than happy to come on, but he's busy. He's traveling the world doing supernatural conventions, so he couldn't come play with us.
He's a busy guy, and we love him so much, but he was definitely trying to work it out for us. So thank you, Jim. Okay, Stinky Pete refuses to go quietly, and he and Lassie both draw for an epic shootout, but Lassiter is quicker, because of course he is, shooting Stinky Pete and claiming victory. Stinky Pete goes down, and Hank is now set for life with his newfound haul of gold and lady friend. You're so
which
cute.
Not only did Mel shoot this like Sergio Leone, as you said before, the music is very spaghetti western.
Yeah, it's so, like, the music there, there's that same so sort of
horn
good.
Playing.
Yeah, it's really 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 good. Tim, that's our episode. As we're getting into season four in these episodes, I just keep getting. We're all so in by this point. There's like an ease. There's like a confidence. And I kind of forgot that when I saw that High Noonish was on the schedule and like we were going back to watch it, I forgot that's what this one was. And you're so sweet in it. And all I could think about was like, oh, this is real.
Yeah, this one was pretty real. And
yeah,
there's also, to go back earlier, a beat I missed in my professional notes. There's a new, just like in this season, our relationship is starting to really develop and change slightly.
Yeah.
There's foreshadowing of the change in the relationship between Lassiter and Sean, where when he first brings them out to Old Sonora and asks them for their help, and he says, you can count on us, and Lassiter replies, I know I could. Yeah. It's like, oh, that's a different Lassiter.
I thought that too. I wrote that line down. I forgot to mention it earlier. There is such a sweetness between you guys. I love that when you're first driving out, though, that they're like, oh, my God, he's going to kill us. Like, he's going to kill us. He's not talked. He's like, at the very beginning of the episode when you're driving them. But no, you just actually really want their help. There's also a moment in the office in that scene, the consumption scene, where
Gus got the consumption. Winks
at me.
That's
what?
A heavy laugh, fella. Gus got the consumption.
And James looks, or John looks at Juliet, and she's just like totally blushing at his like cowboy way, his like little wink, and like, oh, it's very, very, very cute. I love that we always find those moments. Like, I love that we have these episodes, we have the case, we're psych, we have all the isms. But then I feel like we don't ever miss an opportunity to find if there is a moment or some relationship thing that we can like wink to, we always do. And
yeah, if there's something to build character, we always find a way to highlight it.
Yeah. Look at us having a serious talk about this season. Okay.
We're actually
fan
like,
questions.
We were kind of good in this on this show.
We're pretty good. All right. Fan questions, where was Old Sonora shot? We kind of mentioned this. Jamestown,
which is where we shot. That was the chalet scene, for those of you who've seen. That's a lot of scenes, sorry. Psych 3, This Is Gus. We all got to go back to Old Jamestown. And I think I sent us all on the Psych family thread, text thread, the pictures of us sitting on one of the porches.
Yeah.
Which we'll have to put on the Patreon.
Yeah, we'll put on the Tron. Who would you want to be in a Western film? Well, I want to be one of the cowboys. I know that's not generally, like, I want like to do like an Annie Get Your Gun kind of thing.
I will allow it. Or we could do Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. What would you, well, Tim, what would you want to be in a Western film?
Well, you know I'd want to be the sheriff.
Of course, you'd be sheriff. What, Tim? Tim A.
You'd just be Sheriff Tim, I guess.
You're Sheriff Tim. I was gonna say, what would you want your Western name to be?
Well, at the ranch, we all kind of had sort of nicknames for each other, and so I had two nicknames. I was either Slim or Hollywood.
Oh, those are both perfect. So, what would mine be? The marvelous Maggie. No, that's Mrs. Maisel. Hold on. The majestic. The.
Well, you'd be Miss Maggie.
I'm just Miss Maggie. That's right. Maggie. I'm just Miss Maggie.
Or Miss Magdala. Yeah. Miss Maggles.
Miss Maggles. I like Miss Maggles. And role. What role would you want to play? Oh, we just kind of said that we would want to play. I would want to play. I'd want to be like one of the main Cowboys. I'd want to be the one where they were like, man, he's a great shot. And then I take my hat off and I'm like, he's a she.
A little bit of Quick and the Dead.
Yeah, the Quick and the Dead.
Where Sharon Stone is the badass gunslinger.
Yes, please. I love that idea, actually.
Sorry, somewhere on an external hard drive, I got to find... Adina took some amazing pictures of me on this shot.
Yeah.
Underneath that windmill, there was sort of a corral, and I think there was a lasso sitting around, which actually at the ranch, at White Stallion Ranch, they have a lasso set up. So I learned how to actually rope a calf.
You did?
Yeah, I do. I have my lasso in, of all sort of strange things. I've got
Lassie
it in my
has
office.
His lasso? Every time I think lasso, I think of lasso. I think of It's a Wonderful Life. When he says, "Oh, you want me to lasso the? You want me to lasso the room before you marry? Yes, I will."
Oh,
yeah. And then he brings she has it in her house when Donna Reed has it in her house when. Okay, yeah. Okay, so Tim, were you excited to take the lead on this episode?
I was incredibly excited to take the lead. Thank you, Cal Calhoun.
And how excited were you to do a shootout scene? Come on.
I was as excited as Little Lassie would be.
Aww.
And speaking of Little Lassie, there's a scene where when Hank is packing up his stuff, uh-huh. he pulls out a photo of him and young Lassiter.
Yeah.
And his beard's all darkened up. And that is a five-year-old little Timmy in that picture.
That is the sweetest thing. Oh.
With my big old little curl.
That is the sweetest thing. Oh, one thing I want to say about the shootout scene, too, was, like, I'm so happy Mel directed this episode because at this point, Mel was basically, like, our rotating, like, producing director, and he just yes. knew us so well. So, and he knew how special that would be to you. So I was, like, I thought about that. I was, like, what a perfect thing because he would give Tim, like, time to just get into it and own it and take his time with it and have fun with it because it would be one of his favorite scenes of all time.
Even okay. the point of, like... Where, you know, the old yarn and the Westerns where the cowboy, like, or cowgirl.
Yeah.
Flips the jacket to the side and unlatches the hammer from.
So cool.
Which, and there's a shot of Jim Beaver. He unlatches the hammer from the holster holder. And then when Lassiter gets to open up his jacket and I unsnap the shoulder holster. It was all a bit, you know, that's not written, I don't think.
No.
But it was all just like how he built it was beautifully done.
Ah, love. Love. Okay, when riding a horse on TV, oh, do you have rehearsals before the tapings? And how extensive are they? This is funny. I'm actually in horseback riding lessons currently because I want to look like I know what I'm doing on a horse. Well, I love horses as it is, but like I also have had that thought of like, I was like, I just want to know how to be on a horse. And I don't think we necessarily have... I don't think we do rehearsals. I don't think we do rehearsals with the horses, right?
I did on Gallivant, yeah.
I would imagine like if we had extensive horse use, we would definitely get on them for a minute before just to like get to know, you know, horses like you got to get to know them a little bit and they have to get to know you. And
just
like
your acting partner.
So for Gallivant, for example, Tim, like what, like did you have a, like your horse? Or was it like,
yeah, I did.
Was it multicast?
I know I had two horses. In England, I had a horse named Prince. And when we finished the series in Morocco, and they couldn't bring Prince with them, so they got sort of a horse double, this incredible Frisian stallion.
A horse double.
Who was very, very, very hard to ride.
Oh, interesting. But you all got along.
But Prince's double and I got along. But yeah, I was, because I love horses so much, whenever I'm on a show with horses, I was like, hey, can I come practice, quote unquote, meaning I just want to go ride.
Of course. And
actually,
because you want to get to
know
them.
When we shot this episode, I talked to Wrangler to let me just take a little trail ride.
Good. I think that's good. I think I think that's important. They're animals. They feel our energy too. And I think
now the very first time I was ever on a horse, a little tangent, just as... Because people say these go too fast, was a show called Legacy about a Kentucky horse farm, which right up in
I remember
Maggie's,
Legacy.
And I had never ridden before. I mean, I'd ridden as a kid a little bit, but not like at the level I needed to ride on this. So they, I said to the wranglers, like, hey, I want to, can I get in some practice time? So we went out, and there was actually one, we had a weekend off, so they invited me out to their farm, and we just got on these horses and went and played hide and seek through the woods, which was so fun. Freaking fun.
That's amazing.
But there's the first scene where I'm like, I'm galloping across this field, and I do not know how to ride at the time. Uh-huh. So at the very end of the shot, you see me just reaching as fast as I can for the saddle horn before I go on past over tea kettle.
Oh my God, really? That's amazing.
But then before Gallivant is when I started going to, right after the show, after Psych, I started going to White Stallion. So I really, like, that's where I really learned how to ride, just in time for Gallivant.
Wow, it's like you knew.
So my friends, again, I'm really plugging White Stallion Ranch because it's the finest guest ranch
right
out there in the West.
Anyway, that was another great episode. And it's so good to see your face. And we get to do another one tomorrow, which is great. And
I'm so excited. I get to see you 2 days in a row.
I know. This is the best ever.
This is why I love doing this podcast so much, because I get to see you. And hopefully next week when we're both back in town, we get to see each other in person.
I know. And we are going to. And yeah, we have all kinds of fun things. Pinky. Wait.
Done.
There we go. Done.
Done.
Pinky swore. Pinky sweared. Anyway, you know, thank Maggie, you all. What?
I think we really podcasted the shit out of this one.
There's
we came hard with Tim, the first taggy episode.
Also, I'm in Kentucky, so I'm going to go drink some Kentucky Magic water on your behalf.
Oh, please do.
I will.
Delightful.
That was such a fun and nostalgic episode, especially for Tim. Love it. As always, thank you again for listening to The Psychologist Rn. Don't forget to follow us on our Instagram at The Psychologist Rn and our Twitter at Psychologist Pod. And check out our Patreon for full videos of the episodes and more at patreon.com/psychologistrn. We will see you next week where we talk about season 4, episode 4, The Devil is in the Details and the Upstairs Bedroom.
This is The Confused Breakfast,
a movie podcast creating a lot of ruckus around the world.
We talk about classic movies the same way that you and your friends talk about them,
with a little bit of film buff knowledge thrown in because we just can't help ourselves.
If movie quotes are part of your daily vocabulary,
if you like to talk about fun fan theories,
if you've always wanted to punch a movie character in the face,
we're here to podcast for you.
From Back to the Future,
Ghostbusters,
The Shining, and so many more.
Check out The Confused Breakfast wherever you listen to podcasts.